Heilman and Seville, in other words, are experts. Would they get fooled by the Pepsi challenge? Of course not. Nor would they be led astray by the packaging for Christian Brothers, or be as easily confused by the difference between something they truly don't like and something they simply find unusual. The gift of their expertise is that it allows them to have a much better understanding of what goes on behind the locked door of their unconscious. This is the last and most important lesson of the Kenna story, because it explains why it was such a mistake to favor the results of Kenna's market research so heavily over the enthusiastic reactions of the industry insiders, the crowd at the Roxy, and the viewers of MTV2. The first impressions of experts are different. By that, I don't mean that experts like different things than the rest of us, although that is undeniable. When we become expert in something, our tastes grow more esoteric and complex. What I mean is that it is really only experts who are able to reliably account for their reactions. Jonathan Schooler, whom I introduced in the previous chapter, once did an experiment with Timothy Wilson that beautifully illustrates this difference. It involved strawberry jam. Consumer Reports put together a panel of food experts and had them rank 44 different brands of strawberry jam from top to bottom according to very specific measures of texture and taste. Wilson and Schooler took the 1st, 11th, 24th, 32nd, and 44th ranking jams, Knott's Berry Farm, Alpha Beta, Featherweight, Acme, and Sorrel Ridge, and gave them to a group of college students. Their question was, how close would the students' rankings come to the experts? The answer is, pretty close. The students put Knott's Berry Farm 2nd and Alpha Beta 1st, reversing the order of the first two jams. The experts and the students both agreed that Featherweight was number 3, and, like the experts, the students thought that Acme and Sorrel Ridge were markedly inferior to the others, although the experts thought Sorrel Ridge was worse than Acme, while the students had the order the other way around. Scientists use something called a correlation to measure how closely one factor predicts another, and overall, the student ratings correlated with the expert ratings by 0.55, which is quite a high correlation. What this says, in other words, is that our jam reactions are quite good. Even those of us who aren't jam experts know good jam when we taste it. But what would happen if I were to give you a questionnaire and ask you to enumerate your reasons for preferring one jam to another? Disaster. Wilson and Schooler had another group of students provide a written explanation for their rankings, and they put Knott's Berry Farm, the best jam of all, according to the experts, 2nd to last, and Sorrel Ridge, the experts' worst jam, 3rd. The overall correlation was now down to 0.11, which for all intents and purposes means that the students' evaluations had almost nothing at all to do with the experts' evaluations. This is reminiscent of Schooler's experiments that I described in the Van Riper story, in which introspection destroyed people's ability to solve insight problems. By making people think about jam, Wilson and Schooler turned them into jam idiots. In the earlier discussion, however, I was referring to things that impair our ability to solve problems. Now I'm talking about the loss of a much more fundamental ability, namely the ability to know our own mind. Furthermore, in this case, we have a much more specific explanation for why introspections mess up our reactions. It's that we simply don't have any way of explaining our feelings about jam. We know unconsciously what good jam is. It's Knott's Berry Farm. But suddenly, we're asked to stipulate, according to a list of terms, why we think that, and the terms are meaningless to us. Texture, for instance. What does that mean? We may never have thought about the texture of any jam before, and we certainly don't understand what texture means, and texture may be something that we actually, on a deep level, don't particularly care much about. But now the idea of texture has been planted in our mind, and we think about it, and we decide that, well, the texture does seem a little strange, And in fact, maybe we don't like this jam after all. As Wilson puts it, what happens is that we come up with a plausible-sounding reason for why we might like or dislike something, and then we adjust our true preference to be in line with that plausible-sounding reason.